Mystic Fix, a program for the whole being, with Julia Gordon-Bramer on Newstalk STL.
Welcome to Mystic Fix. I'm Julia Gordon-Bramer. This week's episode corresponds with the Justice Tarot card, and I'm relating that to the subject of Ayurveda. Ayurveda and the Justice Tarot card both emphasize the importance of balance, fairness, and taking a holistic approach to health and well-being. And here to talk about Ayurveda is Andrew Nunberg. Andy is certified as a breath and meditation instructor with the Art of Living Foundation and with over 15 years of experience. He recently got certification in Ayurvedic bodywork through, if I'm saying this right, Kerala Ayurveda Academy in 2012.
Kerala.
Okay. Andy's work is focused on helping be healthy from an Ayurvedic perspective that includes body, mind, and spirit. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I had my first experience with Ayurvedic body work with you. And I got to say, I was pretty amazed at a couple of things. The deep relaxation, like, it was the middle of the day, I was not tired, and you put me into a total dream state. So is that normal?
Yes, it is. So your particular treatment is called Marma or Marma Chikitsa. Chikitsa just means like therapy or treatment.
Uh-huh.
And Marma are the vulnerable points on the body. It's very interesting that Marma in Ayurveda came through martial arts.
Hmm.
So in martial arts, there are these points on the body that were known to, if struck, could cause death or maiming, or, you know, have all these gruesome classifications of Marma points.
Uh-huh.
And these were held in different families for a long time. And in India, not many people know that there are these martial arts, especially in Tamil Nadu, which is in the south of India. And then eventually that got passed on to the Vaidyas, the Ayurvedic physicians.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started using that to not hurt people, but to help. So our touch is intelligent in the sense that our body knows when touch is beneficial and when it's not.
Okay.
So these same spots, when touched in a way that's not beneficial, mm-hmm. maleficent or whatever, then it can cause certain harm. But if we touch it in a positive way, it can elicit a cascade of positive responses.
Okay.
And this is very similar to Chinese medicine and acupuncture. In Ayurveda, there are only maybe 108 Marma points in the body, 108 to 110, but you have thousands and thousands of what we call nadis, which are pretty much the same as meridians in Chinese medicine. So Marma Chikitsa is all about removing obstacles in the flow of prana. Or
prana being the life force.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's similar to qi in Chinese medicine.
Okay.
When prana moves through this system and keeps us alive,
mm-hmm.
And it can get obstructed, it can get blocked. And one of the ways we can relieve these blocks is through these different Marma points. So what I gave you is something that my teacher from Art of Living, Shri Ravi Shankar, came up with a Marma treatment that's sort of a one-size-fits-all because it hits every major, all the major glands are affected, all the major body systems are affected, organ systems, respiration, circulation, all that are affected. So no matter kind of what you have, it'll get help get rectified.
Yeah.
And the experience is very meditative. So in Sanskrit, the term is samadhi. So samadhi, your dhi, the intellect, is even.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that you can have, and in yoga, samadhi is saying you have the same love for everything, all thoughts, all people. You can have that same love and have it for everything regardless. So it's very, it's dispassionate, but in a very positive way.
Huh.
And it's sort of
platonic, kind of.
Yeah. It's, you're relating to objects and people from a very different perspective. It's not the small perspective of your personal experience, but from a larger perspective. And that state has different flavors. So your flavor was that of this dreamlike sort of in between sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I actually felt like I had kind of a vision. Because I have a person, a friend of mine in hospice right now, and a friend who had passed a couple years ago came to me, like, I believe, to take my friend. And, you know, so it was kind of a spiritual moment for sure on your table. I didn't share that part with you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. But I also had an interesting thing of some physical things coming up that I thought had been resolved. I've been fighting with a kind of a trick shoulder, and that sort of came back.
Yeah.
And just some kind of stomach issues. But is this something that if I had further treatments that it would help resolve those, or?
I'm going to say probably. Ayurveda is a very interesting sort of science because it's always different for different people.
And
you can never really be like, I mean, it's customizable to people in one sense, but I'm not sure because it's the first time I don't know much about, I didn't really take the full history either. You just
sure.
sort of came in.
Sure.
But yeah, this happens even in meditation when people start learn to meditate, they have an old injury or something, and all of a sudden in meditation, they have a sensation in that area.
Interesting.
Because I remember when you first contacted me about doing this, you know, the question was, is Ayurveda spiritual? Because you were like, I always thought of Ayurveda as just like eating healthy and taking herbs and things like that. And that's probably how most people in the U.S. see it because like in our culture in America, we're very much like a melting pot. So we like to take little things, but we take just a small aspect of it. And sometimes we don't realize it's part of a bigger system.
Okay.
So Ayurveda.
And spirituality is a big part of that system.
Yeah. And so this is part of what we would call the Vedic tradition of ancient India.
Mm-hmm.
And people have heard of the Vedas, all these sort of ancient, we say writings, but actually they were, it was oral tradition first.
Uh-huh.
It didn't get written down to much later. So you actually have people memorize whole chunks of it, and they were living libraries.
Wow.
So this knowledge, the way I was taught is this knowledge was downloaded by these sages. They would go into deep meditation, and they would just hear these sounds. And it was a language they didn't know, but they knew what it meant.
Yeah.
So they would tell their disciples, okay, I went in meditation, this is what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it means this. And they sort of collected that. And then one sage came along, took all that information, and came up with the rules of Sanskrit. Like, so what they heard was Sanskrit or Samskriti. And then the sage was Panini, but not the sandwich. and he came up with all the rules of Sanskrit. Sanskrit's a very detailed, very, like, has a lot of rule, like everything is there. It's not, it's almost like a computer language.
Okay.
It's very detailed. But anyway, so the Vedic tradition, everything is spiritual. There is not anything that is not spiritual because the human experience is not separate compartments.
It's oh, like I like
that.
You
have a body and then there's the mind or there's a nervous system and then you have a brain. Everything, it comes together. Even in Ayurveda, we talk about the three bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Stula Sharira, which is the gross body, and then there is the Sukshma Sharira, which is the subtle. Sukshma means subtle.
Uh-huh.
Subtle would be like where the prana is, the mind, perception, all that kind of work that's happening. So mind, feelings, thoughts, perception are happening at that level. And then there's something called the Karana Sharira, which is the causal body. What causes you to come into this world. So your life lessons, and technically your life lessons, like your karma, is in your subtle body. And then in your causal body it's interesting because at one point it says that your causal body has no qualities to it. It's sort of like a witness.
So can Ayurveda help people resolve things like karma?
Well, that's the thing about karma is that...
You gotta stick it out.
It depends. So it's said that when you are about to be born, there is like a heap, like a mountain of karma in front of you. This is all your karmas. And then you grab some of it and carry it with you into this life. Out of that which you carry with you, some is mutable and some is immutable. So in yoga in particular, there is this sort of branch of yoga called karma yoga, which is the yoga of action. But it's also the yoga of having to pacify or soften some of the karmas. And in Vedic spirituality, what you're doing in this life is reducing that mound, that not that you've taken with you, but that's still in your bank. You could think of it as a sort of celestial bank, and you have a whole bunch of karma in there. You want to get rid of all of it. But usually people start with the bad first and then the good, because good karma is also kind of like a prison. So I'll give you a simple example. Okay, you came and saw me, had a great experience. Oh, I really liked it. I like Andy, he's great. You come and see me a few more times. Because remember, karma is action, the fruit of action, and the seed for future action. It's all one word. So when you form an impression of me that's good, then that forms like a seed or even an expectation. Then it keeps happening. So that karma grows bigger and bigger. Then one day I'm not so nice to you. Maybe I didn't.
Oh, no.
Well, you know how it is, right? You know, you're not professional with someone and you've been professional. All of a sudden, it's one day. Then what happens in your mind? Because you had this karma of how I am or how you think I am. And then that gets shaken and then you get disturbed because of that attachment.
Okay, so I get attached to how I think you are. That's interesting.
I mean, we get it. Everyone does it. It's not like, oh, you're not spiritual, but don't do it. We do it, but that's how things like Ayurveda help, because when you understand like some of these principles, like the doshas, which are these primal energies that help the body function,
right?
But it's also responsible for all the diseases. So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Well, the reason I chose you for this particular program with the Justice card was, you know, it has the scales of balance. And Ayurveda is all about keeping balanced, ultimately, right?
Does Justice have a sword, too?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the doshas.
Oh, so okay.
When that balance is correct, then that sword can help you, you know, defeat or cut illness and all these other negative
things. Oh, cool.
But if that balance is not correct, that sword is actually used against you.
Oh, okay. So you help people find balance?
Yes, I help people find their particular balance.
Which is a very different individual journey. And is some of this diet and exercise?
Yeah, a lot of it is lifestyle. And then under lifestyle, you could say what you, it's called ahara, which is that which you take in, which is not just food and water, but your perception too.
Oh.
How you perceive things can affect the dosha. So in Ayurveda, you have three doshas that are related to the five elements. In Ayurveda, we have, in Vedic alchemy, there's five elements. There's the four that we know, air, earth, fire, and water. The fifth one is space.
Oh, okay.
The space is very subtle, and it's the framework.
That was the last program.
So space is very subtle, and it's where everything else hangs on. Like this, where does this exist in space? So we have vata, which is like wind. It's space and air, and it's so vata is that which moves and gives you life. So prana is considered like the refined essence of vata. And then you have pitta, which is mainly fire and a little bit of water, because fire by itself gets out of control. So to modulate,
so it tempers it.
It tempers it. So there's a little bit of water in pitta, but it's mostly fire.
But so you would never want to extinguish the fire.
No, because fire is life, right?
Okay.
Like if you get too cold.
Okay.
You get too hot. Same thing. So the refined essence of pitta is called tejas, which is the brilliance. When someone is brilliant in their mind. Then they have an essence. And then there's kapha or kappa, if you're strict on your Sanskrit, which is earth and water.
Yeah.
And it's all about Saripitta is all about transformation or cooking.
So Andy, if I am a listener right now and I'm thinking, well, I want to know what I am and I want to get one of these Marma sessions and figure out some of this stuff, how do they reach you? How do they find you?
They can go to my website, which is handsheartsoul.us.
Okay.
They can text me at 314-494-5042. That's probably even better than going to the website.
Uh-huh. Say that number again.
314-494-5042.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. Next up, another form of spiritual justice when Mystic Fix returns. You're listening to News Talk STL 101.9 and 94.1.
You're listening to Mystic Fix on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Mystic Fix on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. We just heard from Andy Nunberg and got an overview of Ayurveda and what it can do for you.
Hello, Pierre Pradervand. Pierre, you are a fellow author with Inner Traditions. I am also an author. You've got several books. You've got The Gentle Art of Blessings, 365 Blessings to Heal Myself and the World, and your newest book coming up on sale July 18th of this year is The Gentle Art of Spiritual Discernment. That title really intrigued me, and I thought maybe we could first start by you explaining what spiritual discernment is.
An adaptation that I made from my French book. I published over 20 books in 12 languages and written many in French, including this one. And the original title in French was simply, How to Find Your Spiritual Path. And for me, that was very, very clear.
Yeah.
And I think they have these people in advertising and all that. And my book, Gentle Art of Blessing, was by far the best known in the States. And so I think they took on part of the title to make a sort of link. But most people don't know about my books. So still, that was their choice. So I accepted it.
Yes. Well, getting back to this new release, The Gentle Art of Spiritual Discernment, you say that there are three key questions that we ask ourselves, and that is, who am I deep down? What am I looking for in my spiritual quest? And what is the deep motivation of my search? Can you tell me how you came up with those three questions, and do you address them?
Let's say, I'm getting on to 86. I've had a long, exciting life. I've traveled to over 40 countries over five continents. I worked or lived or studied or traveled in all those countries. And I guess it's just the result of a certain wisdom from life. You know, life gives you a little wisdom, I hope, over the years, especially like me, you've been in the field of personal development and spirituality for many, many years. So that's my understanding that these are, I don't say the three basic questions, they don't exist, but three important issues that many people face in our culture. I say in our culture because most people are so enclosed in their culture, they cannot imagine that people think radically different in other cultures.
That's right. That's right. And well, let's talk about that. So can you give me some examples of how spirituality is radically different from Western culture?
Well, spirituality in itself, true spirituality, isn't attached to any culture. Let me share with you the most important mystical experience I had in my lifetime. I was coming back from Burkina Faso in West Africa from the meeting of a large grassroots peasant organization, of which I was one of the founders. It was the largest group of its kind in the whole of Africa, with farmers really from the grassroots. There are not many big farmers in Africa, in except in one or two countries. And the last day of our meetings, I contracted dysentery. Now, dysentery isn't serious if you don't take care of it, but if you let go of it, it can become quite serious. Now, at the time, I was following a spiritual path for healing. And I, for over 30 years, healed myself solely with spiritual means. And I had been before that a hypochondriac. I used to run to the doctor for the slightest little problem. And now for 30 years, and I was sometimes in very difficult situations. I remember in the heart of Africa, in a deep forest, it was the middle of the night. I had these excruciating pains, abdominal pains. It could have been appendicitis, peritonitis, I didn't know what. And I had to solve it spiritually because there was no other means. So for 30 years, this method was extremely helpful. And so I was coming back from this meeting in Africa, and I was in the plane working with my affirmations or my spiritual texts and the other things that I usually did in such situations of needing healing. And I was sitting next to an unaccompanied little boy of about 9, 10 years old with a little, you know, notice board on his chest. And he was traveling alone, and the stewardess taking care of him was absolutely adorable. One would have thought his mother. She was always checking that he was okay. And one moment she came to speak to him with a special kindness. And suddenly I felt for this woman an incredible gratitude. And it became cosmic. And I had an out-of-body experience. I was in a space where there was only the infinity of love. Love was the only presence, the only power, the only law, the only substance, the only vision. There was absolutely nothing else but love. And the most wonderful thing, Pierre Pradvan had completely disappeared. I had no longer any conscious of existing as this little Swiss with his red and white passport and all that stuff. The only consciousness I had was that of love. And
completely
suddenly I was
egoless.
Absolutely, totally. And yeah. Suddenly I was back in my seat. I don't know if it lasted 2 minutes or 20 minutes. I was out of time. And I felt something moving in my stomach area, and the dysentery was over. But the real healing was this vision of love as the ultimate substance, reality, law, presence of the universe. And it's
wow.
A healing love. It's a healing love, a blessing love, a tender love of such tenderness and caring, even for the Trumps and Putins of this world.
So, Pierre, is this techniques such as Reiki, or is this?
No. Okay. It's just I follow no specific spiritual path. I follow my inspiration. At the present moment, I would say I have one brief affirmation which summarizes all my spirituality, and I will say it to you now, because it might help others. Creator or infinite divine love, whichever you want to say, bless my eyes that I may see everything with love. Bless my mind that my every thought may stem from love. Bless my ears that I hear all with love and interpret all with love. Bless my mouth that every word I speak comes from love. Bless my heart that I may give and receive love. Bless my hands that everything I touch or do feels loved. And bless my feet that I may walk as a warrior of peace upon this earth. That's the summary of all my spirituality. I repeat it to myself during the day And if I can really live that, I read less and less spiritual books, because if after 50 years I haven't, made some kind of good summary, I don't know if another 50 years reading will help me get much further.
My goodness, if we all prayed that every day, and I think that'll be part of my new practice, and kept that mindset.
During the day.
Right.
Not only once in the morning, all through the day,
right?
Every hour or every 2 hours.
What a different world we would have. Even if just a portion of us did that, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, that is so beautiful. I love that you're not embracing any specific practice, any specific religion. I know your book talks about how people more and more are moving away from organized religion, but yet still seeking a spiritual dimension.
But of course. I have there's one American mystic. I receive a short text from his followers every day. He's called Joel Goldsmith. And he created a path of his own last century called The Infinite Way. And he's a pure non-dualist. I must add that I am a non-dualist. 98% of Christianity and most major religions are deeply dualistic. You have God and the devil, good and bad, light and darkness, health and always everything goes by opposites, matter and spirit, of course. And in non-dualism, everything is the expression of this infinite life source, this infinite spring of love. Everything. I try and think of every person I meet as God smiling on the earth. I think of you as I look at your face now. It is so evident to me that you are love smiling on the earth.
I love that. I try. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Gosh, Pierre, I wish we could talk all day.
We can.
not for my program.
We can do it another time if you want to.
I do hope I can stay connected with you, because from the moment I sent that first email to you and you wished me, I can't remember the exact words, but the blessings of the gentle rain or something like that. And I thought,
gentle rain of blessings.
That's right. And I said, this is a man I want to know.
And the famous statement, peace, strength, and joy, with which Gandhi ended all his letters. Peace, strength, and joy for me is a beautiful blessing to finish a letter.
Yes. And Mahatma Gandhi was one of my spiritual heroes, to be sure.
He was my youth hero. Hero of my youth was Gandhi. No doubt about that.
Well, Pierre, how can listeners find you if they want to find you online?
Well, I have a website, gentleartofblessing.org. I also have another website. I've been befriending an African-American inmate from Texas who was on death row, who was condemned, as so many Afro-Americans, condemned to death for a crime we know he didn't commit. Well. But he was given a drunken lawyer who didn't visit him before the trial, who prepared his plea on the basis of the police report condemning my friend. And we learned many years later that before every trial, he met with the district attorney and the judge, and they had a drink together. And the summum of everything, he fell asleep snoring during the trial because he had a big drink before coming, and nobody even wakened him up.
Goodness.
So my friend was condemned to death, and I heard of him by a lady in Zurich who was corresponding with him in 1996. And I started corresponding with Roger, and his correspondence was so amazing. I published it in French in 2003, and the response was incredible. People started sending in money for his for a new trial. A lady in Zurich sent me $50,000 just from reading the book, Messages of Life from Death Row. Messages of Life from Death Row. I think you can only find it on internet now. And this man has become a giant, a spiritual giant. I received a few years ago a letter from the worst prison in Thailand, Ban Quang Central Prison. A few years ago, there was a one-hour BBC film on internet on this terrible prison where people, inmates were like literally sardines sleeping next to each other. And this man was also, he says, condemned for something he didn't do. And he was at the bottom of hell and so depressed. And in the prison library, he found my book on Roger. Now, how did that book in French arrive in a prison in Thailand? Ask Providence. I say, ask the first four. And this book changed his life.
It's because love wrote it, right?
Exactly. And it was so, this book has had so many, such an amazing impact and raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. Because as you know, the law is very expensive in the United States. And so that's been a very important contact, and people can find, I have another website on my books, pierreprevent.com.
Well, I am so grateful for your time, Pierre, and I will be reaching out again. I know it went by so fast, but thank you. Indeed. And I do hope you have a wonderful, I guess it's evening there, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Morning here.
My door is wide open anytime.
Thank you. Thank you. It was an absolute pleasure. And I'm just sorry it had to go by so quickly.
So all the best to you. And too. As Gandhi would say, peace, strength, and joy, and a Pacific Ocean of blessings over you. Goodbye,
thank
my friend.
Thank you so much. Good day. Bye-bye.
If you want a chance at a free copy of this week's author's book, or if you'd like to be one of our free tarot card readings in the third segment, you can register for our giveaways on mysticfix.com. Coming up, everyone's favorite, tarot card readings by yours truly. You're listening to Mystic Fix on News Talk STL 101.9 and 94.1.
This is Mystic Fix with Julia Gordon Bramer on News Talk STL.
Our spiritual journey tonight will begin.
Can't outrun your fate.
Let me tell you about you.
I know who you are, what you are, and why you have come.
Take a good look at these cards, young man. They contain all the secrets of the universe.
What does it say?
Hello?
Hi, is this Jennifer?
Hi, this is she.
Hi, this is Julia from Mystic Fix. Heard you might want a tarot card reading.
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's your question?
I am really, really wondering, am I with my soulmate?
Okay, and let's check that out. I will offer you some information while I'm looking at the cards here. We have a lot of soulmates, and anybody who's in your life in a meaningful way can be a soulmate. Like, so don't get too caught up in the jargon. I'm taking it this to mean, are you with the person you're going to stay with for the rest of your life, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And I'll cut to the chase. No. I do see you with a good man. He's showing up as an emperor, and he's kind of a leader. He's very masculine. He can be bossy. He's not super romantic or touchy feely, but he's a good guy. He's right side up as he faces me. I am seeing you both going forward into the future with the Chariot, but I don't think it's the forever future. We have some problems. We've got the Seven of Cups in reverse, which tends to be a card of your dreams just not coming true. It's sort of like a little bit of disillusionment. Your top card is the Four of Cups. This is an interesting card because, you know, it is I call it a card of knowing your God self. It's saying that you're picky. You're not going to just settle for any guy. You're not going to put up with someone who treats you bad, and clearly your guy does not. However, you got the World in reverse, and this is the World card straight up is a card of success, completion, and self-actualization. And if this card had been straight up, I'd say, yeah, you're with him. You know, he's the one. But I feel like there's somebody else beyond. Now, it may be years ahead. You know, that, like I said, this is a good guy, but I just don't think he's everything that you want. So opposite the card of disillusionment, you've got the Five of Cups, and it does tend to focus on the negative. The Five of Cups is interesting because this guy is kind of crying over three spilled cups, but two behind him are straight up. They're just fine. And so the message of this card is, you know, all is not lost. You still have some good here. You know, I'm not saying this is a bad relationship. And you're even ending on the Five of Swords, which tells me that this time next year, you feel like a winner in this relationship. So it's definitely going on years ahead. But if you're talking your forever person that you're going to grow old with and, you know, until the day you die, I don't think that's this person that you're with right now. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Hope I didn't bum you out too much.
No, you didn't. You were spot on with a lot.
All right. Well, thank you, Jennifer. It was great reading for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too.
My teacher says when people ask about soulmates.
What's that?
First you meet your own soul, then you worry about your soulmate.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. Well, I'm going to read for our guest, Andy Nunberg. So, Andy, why don't you shuffle? See, you are not on the phone, so you get to actually shuffle.
I used to do this when I was younger.
Awesome. So you understand.
I actually recognize some of the cards. I was like, yeah, I remember that.
Uh-huh.
That is.
Cool. You don't have a deck anymore?
No. I used to keep my deck wrapped in silk.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
When you're like me and you have about 500 decks, you just stop doing that. Plus, they wear out with so many clients. All right. So what are we looking at today, Andy?
I just want to know, I guess, like a year, a forecast for my practice.
Okay. Okay. We got some good cards so far. Woo. All right. I'm feeling very good about this. It looks like Mystic Fix is going to put you on the map. All right. So first of all, Nine of Cups is just saying you're happy with what you do. And so that energy is good already. You know, I compare that when I talk about karma with my clients. I say, you know, a good seed is something. It's honest. It's true. And it sprouts. It blossoms. A negative seed, either, you know, which would be bad feelings, either doesn't grow or it gives you weeds, right? Mm-hmm. So your energy is good. It is pure. And maybe that's why we've met. The Fool in reverse, you do look like very afraid about making a mistake, interestingly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether this is with your clients or just not knowing how to position yourself or something, what I would tell you is you can't make a mistake. Not really. Mm-hmm. You know, your higher self is going to direct you. So just follow that course and do what feels right and true. And, you know, we always course correct. Everyone screws up sometimes. So give yourself a break there. Ace of Pentacles is just saying the money is starting to come in 1 to 3 months. Now, it's an ace, so it's a little bit, you know. I'm not seeing you becoming wealthy overnight here, but I do feel like it's a new beginning for you in some way. Pentacles are always about money and career. Mm. So the energy of the year for you, and when I say the year, I'm talking about now to this time next year. Mm-hmm. The energy for the year is the Eight of Cups in reverse. And this is about putting your old life behind you. In reverse, there tends to be a little bit of disgust around it, interestingly. So just like, oh, I do not want to go back to, you know, COVID or whatever, which I'm sure hurt your practice, by the way, you know.
I started my practice right as COVID began.
Oh,
March 2020.
Oh, no. Yeah, so that would be a reason to be disgusted for sure. So within the next 6 months, you've got an Ace of Cups, which is another offer. You know, know, these both of these aces, they're hands offering you things. And so this first one, Ace of Pentacles, is saying, here's some money, Andy. And the Ace of Cups is saying, I love you. You're the one. So it's really good energy around this year. I feel very good. Now, the Hierophant is sometimes called a card of fame. It's a card of society and the institutions, and it's right side up. It's recognition. So this could get you some press, you know, Mystic Fix, Beyond. It's really good. I would say it's a very good year for you for media attention in general.
Okay.
And then your last card here is the King of Cups, which is a king, first of all. So he has accomplished something. He's sitting in his throne, and cups are love and emotion. And I would include spirit in that a little bit, too. So of all the kings for Ayurveda, I think King of Cups fits best. I guess you could say King of Wands might be energy related. I mean, that's you as well. But this is about being in flow. You know, I could throw that balance in from the Justice card that we were talking about with the theme of this show. But this is a very good year for you. So I have no worries for you at all. I think you are on path.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
The Fool in reverse, because I'm Pitta dosha in my constitution, and Pitta people are perfectionists.
Oh, okay.
So like when I don't like making mistakes, I belabored over this whole thing I prepared, and then you just threw that question out.
Oh.
I was like, okay, well, I'm not doing this, so I'm just going to go with the flow.
Well, I do the same thing. I bring a lot of questions, and then the vibe just carries me. So, which I think is better. It's more
always,
fun.
Yeah, it's always better when it naturally flows.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, thank you, Andy. If you'd like to meet me in person, I'll be doing the St. Louis Mystic Fair at the Machinists District 9 Hall in Bridgeton, Missouri on April 29th or 30th. Besides me reading tarot, they'll have Reiki, astrology, animal communication, chakra work, energy healings, and so much more. Check my social media for more information. This July, I'll also be reading cards at the Illuminate Festival in Ocean City, Maryland on July 29th. If you've never been to an Illuminate Festival, they are all over the United States, and you can learn more at illuminatefestivals.com. Before we go, I want to thank our sponsor, CommaFlight. Want an amazing spiritual weekend getaway? There's a new CommaFlight weekend workshop April 27th through 30th at the Chosen Retreat Center in Sebastian, Florida. Deepening intimacy through somatic movement, CommaFlight distills and blends the dynamism of contact improv, the serene flow of Watsu, the deep tissue release of Thai massage, and the exhilaration of acro yoga. CommaFlight comprises a new modality for reanimating the body. Visit at CommaFlight, that's CammaFlight, on Instagram for videos, links, and more information. So glad you could join us for another episode of Mystic Fix. If this is your kind of programming, please like and subscribe to the podcast or videocast. Subscriptions get us found in searches, and it really helps. You're listening to Mystic Fix on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Until next time.